Okay, we're starting a series. We're going to talk this month about some of the messages and lessons that Jesus went through when he was a child, and he left them for us to follow, actually. And we're starting out with some heavy lifting. So you guys ready? Okay. You realize that as long as we tell a story, it's in our consciousness. And if you'll think about your own life, there are stories you don't tell anymore, right? It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And then there are stories that come up like this. The ones that come up like this are the ones that are still operating in your consciousness. The ones that you've forgotten about, you've healed, you've filed, they're no longer active. With me? Okay. The Ten Commandments is actually a foundational perspective of the Judeo-Christian belief system. There are so many Christians today who stand on the Ten Commandments, right? So in order to begin the journey of trying to understand, is this story still our story? Well, I thought we'd look at it today. Does everybody want to?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to start from the beginning. Most of you have seen the Ten Commandments in the movies. And if you were a seasoned person, I forgot who was the gentleman that played it. Charlton Heston, okay. I'm looking at the senior person here. And so he is Moses. In the beginning, the 12 tribes worshiped the unknown God, and there was no system to it. It was ad hoc. Whenever they felt like it, they'd go sacrifice. There was no system. There was no priest. There was no laws. They went into Egypt and went into captivity, continued to worship this unknown God of Abraham. No system, no laws. Moses comes and says, okay, I'm going to free you guys. God told me to free you from captivity. You all know the story. He takes the children of Israel out of captivity. They are roaming around for a while. He goes to Mount Sinai, and he goes, as you saw Mr. Heston do, he goes up to the pillar, up to the mountain and fire, and God gives him the Ten Commandments, and God seals them on these tablets, and he comes down the mountain, and he sees, what does he see? But the children of Israel have created a golden calf. And the golden calf is there, and he crashes the Ten Commandments and gets all mad at them because they're worshiping another god. And then he has to go back at a later date and go get some more Ten Commandments on some more tablets. Is that not the story you know? Yes, it is. It's the story of the movies. It's not the story in the book. So this is what we want to look at. The Ten Commandments are listed in Exodus as well as in Deuteronomy. And Exodus, all of these books are very interesting. Remember, guys, this is what we inherited. These were not written at the time. Okay. All right. In Exodus, it says, this is chapter 20, Moses went up to the mountain to talk to God, and the people saw all of the light, and the people could not go up with him. So he goes up, there's all this light. He gets these Ten Commandments, doesn't say anything about the tablets yet. No, nothing about tablets writing in the hand of God. He gets these Ten Commandments, he comes down the mountain, and the people have been watching all the lightning and there's quite a geostorm going on while Moses is on the mountaintop talking to God. And they gathered, and they saw all the smoke, and then they were afraid. And when Moses came back down, this is what they said to Moses. You speak to us, and we will listen, but let not God speak to us, lest we die. So they were afraid of what they saw. And they said, we'll listen to you. We'll listen to you, Moses. You go, Moses, you go. You go talk to God. Tell us what he says. We'll handle it. Okay? All right. This is in chapter 20. We do not see the, and then there's more laws, and then there's more laws, and then there's more laws. We don't see anything about a bull being created for the people to worship until chapter 32. I believe that's right. Chapter 32, we have the golden calf. Now in chapter 32, there's a golden calf, and in chapter 32, he's gone up to the mountaintop yet again. He goes there a million times, and he's gone for 40 days every time he goes, and he meditates. Or is it one time? Who knows? But now we have the golden calf. Now we have the tablets. Now he breaks the tablets. Now he has to go get new tablets. In our brains, this is how we function. We go, oh, there's the golden calf. Therefore, the movie's right. It all happened at the same time. Do you see how your brain makes it right? Your brain makes it match the movie because that's what you've been told. But maybe that wasn't what happened. Maybe the people just said, yo, we don't want to talk to God. Maybe that's what they said. And then the golden calf happened later, months later. Who knows? We don't know. In Deuteronomy, which is a beautiful book, I believe whoever wrote Deuteronomy had access to the history. This was written all at one time. It was almost like a play, like a pageant. Let's tell everybody what happened to the history. And somebody sat and wrote it down. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have the Ten Commandments once again being laid out. Moses goes up to the mountain. There's the thundering and everything. And the words of the Ten Commandments, the Lord spoke to all the assembly on the mountain out of the midst of the fire, in the cloud, and in the thickness and darkness, and in a loud voice. And he wrote them upon two tablets. Now we get the tablets in Deuteronomy. The people heard the words themselves out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk to man and he does live. Now, therefore, why should we die? Because we are now afraid. This man lived, we heard, but for fear this great fire will consume us, if we hear the voice of our Lord God any more, we shall die. They are afraid. And they say to Moses, go on, Moses, go near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak to us all the Lord our God shall speak to you, and we will hear it and do it. Same answer. Again, you do not see the calf until several chapters later. And it's another scenario, another thing going on. You with me, guys? Okay. Again, we inherited this. The Ten Commandments, based on the history of what we inherited, they are not punitive. They are thou shalt not. Everybody knows the Ten Commandments, right? I don't need to go over them for you. It's thou shalt not, but it doesn't say, and if you do, bam. Just thou shalt not. There are guidelines. They are instructions, but they are not punitive laws. Thou shalt not. And the people were so frightened by the degree, they set up the need for a mediator. Good to know. Good to know. And we don't want to talk to you, God. You guys with me? Okay. Do you see that in our faith today? Do you see that in Christendom today? All right. This is heavy stuff, y'all, because you don't realize how Jewish we are. You don't realize how Jewish the Christian faith is. A lot of the Christian, all of our beliefs, a lot of it comes from ancient Judaism, which I don't even know if they practice any of it, but it comes from that. And it's evolved and missed and changed. But it's from this ancient perspective, Christianity. What about our story needs to be rewritten, guys? Not that I'm against any faith or any religion, but what do we need to rewrite for today, for our thing today? So now we're moving into Jesus as a child. He's around 10 years old. We're in chapter 17, and Jesus is 10 the next chapter. So we know he's right there. He has been studying with the rabbi. They found out very quickly when he was a little tyke that he was quite smart. He read the books. He wanted all the holy books. And as a little male, he had access to it. Had he been a female, he would not have. But he had access to read the books, and he was studying, and he was so excited about it. So one day after the lessons, a rabbi in the synagogue, he was helping Mary teach her son. And one morning he said, as Jesus sat in silent thought, which is the greatest of the Ten Commandments? Have you thought about that? Which is the greatest? There's only one God, no graven image, don't take my name in vain, Sabbath, honor your father and mother, Don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet, don't commit adultery. Got them all? Now, of all of those, which is the greatest? Huh, okay, this is what Jesus says. I do not see a greatest of the Ten Commands. I see a golden cord that runs through all of them, that binds them fast and makes them one. This cord is love, and it belongs to every word of all the Ten Commandments. If one is full of love, he can do nothing else than worship God, for God is love. If one is full of love, he cannot kill, he cannot falsely testify, he cannot covet, he can do nothing but honor God and man. If one is full of love, he does not need commandments of any kind. Can you breathe that in? This is a child seeing that. If you are full of love, you will not do these things. And he had the vision to see that in those commandments, the intention behind them was a loving intention. Just like a parent would send love to a child who you don't need to have, maybe you can't explain fire to them, but you can say, don't get close to the warmth. You can tell them things that can lead them to where you need them to be to stay safe. And the Ten Commandments were like words to lead you to and keep you in a space where you would love instead of become hostile. Love sees good in everything. Love wants good. And all of the commandments, all of every one of them, deal with separation, do they not? Separation and relationship. The first four are about how do you are not one with God, really. How do I deal with God? No graven idols, there's only one God, don't take anything in vain. You know how, set aside the Sabbath. I missed the Sabbath last time, didn't I? I missed the Sabbath last time, guys. Did I say it? Okay. Sabbath is good. Those are all about our relationship with God, because in that mindset, we are separate from God. And then the others are about our relationship with people. Don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't commit adultery. It's all about our relationship with one another, because we are separate from one another. Remember, when we are in love and we are in that space of love, there is a communal oneness. Love moves through all of those intentions, and in love, the commandments do not exist anymore. How brilliant was this child? Okay. Then the gentleman says to him, your words are seasoned with the salt of wisdom that is from above. Who is the teacher who opened this truth up to you? And Jesus said, I do not know that any teacher opens up this truth for me. It seems to me that truth was never shut, that it was always opened up, for truth is one and it is everywhere. If we open up the windows of our mind, the truth will enter in and make herself at home, for truth can find her way through any crevice, any window, and any open door. Again, show me the greater. How often do we find ourselves perplexed with the laws of what have been and issues and walls that we run into in our world, and we cannot logically see our way to overcome it or through it or heal it? So we have to open to a truth that is greater than what we can see, greater than what we know. And the minute we open to that truth, what do you get? Don't you get divine ideas, divine perspectives, divine things you would never have thought of? Just drops inside. And there's just in the wisdom that comes from that higher mind, that truth that exists, there is no arguing. It makes such sense. You could tell anyone, I got this, and they'll go, oh. They don't argue with you, because it makes sense. Oh, I never thought of it that way. That's what they will say. Yeah, I didn't either, till it dropped into my head, till I asked for divine inspiration, divine guidance. You guys with me? Okay. So love connects us all, connects us to God. And when Jesus did this, when he said, show me the higher truth, he was actually eliminating the middleman. Do you guys see that? Okay. The man asks him one more question. What hand is strong enough to open up the windows and doors of the mind so truth can come in? And this is Jesus' answer. What is strong enough to open up your brain so truth can come in? It seems to me that love, the golden cord that binds the Ten Commandments in one, is strong enough to open any human door so the truth can enter in and cause the heart to understand. So we've circled back to love. So love. Can I have Jesus, Dieter Healer? We're in the middle, we're still stirring. We want to say something to you about true religion. True religion is not tied to any creed or dogma. It is not merely some form of belief. Religion is the growing consciousness of God in man's own being. When man becomes awakened to the light of God, when the Christ within him, the Son of God within him, starts to grow, this growing God consciousness is his strength and stay, his comfort, his guide. This is true religion, and it is what all humanity is searching for. Okay. In our seminary program, when you're studying the Aquarian Gospel, you learn the qualities of the Christ. And these are broken down. There are 10 of them. And we hit them as Jesus is going through his experiences. And the qualities of the Christ are the qualities each one of us rises to, consciously or accidentally, if we're on the path of seeking to be the light being that we know we are. If we're on the path of trying to manifest being a child of God, trying to manifest knowing that we're spirit, we're eternal, we're here to do something, this is a marvelous place, we're glad we're here. You know, love is the golden core that brought us here. It's going to carry us through. It's going to take us home. Do you hear what I'm saying? When we're on that path, you're going to hit these precepts. But in this one chapter, there are three, and I wanted to outline those for you. When Jesus saw the higher vision, he activated the quality of the Christ, which is always to see the higher vision. When things don't make sense to you, they are in your field for a reason. If it's on your path, it resonates with you somehow. So you ask, why, how, show me what this means, show me what I need to do, the higher vision. That is a quality of Christing, holding that. Got it? The other quality is being taught by God. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it says God will teach you. Does anybody taught you that? It literally says in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God himself will teach you when you are ready. How many of us ask for that deep of a connection? Teach me, God. Show me what I need to see. Teach me. But we have to have a receptive heart. We have to have a willingness. And when we want to be taught, we have to have a willingness to build upon it. When I'm in the kitchen trying to cook something, which does not happen now much at all, and I ask my angels to come in and help me because I cannot cook, I do not say, God, teach me how to cook. Because I don't want to build on it. I just want to make something. So angels, come on, get me through this. Let's have a good day. This would be fun. But no. But if I'm looking at a book or reading, this is Cindy, y'all. We all have our own thing. Show me what I'm missing. Teach me. Have you ever picked up a book and you read it and you go, oh my God, I cannot understand a word they're saying. You shut the book and you pray. Okay, Father, Mother, God, teach me. Show me what this is trying to tell me. Why am I even drawn to this book? What do I need to see? You can divine dip in it, point down, read something, and Spirit is talking to you now. And you're getting it. I divine dip in dictionaries. You can divine dip in anything. So, and you'll get that message and you'll go, ah, and it'll be like manna from heaven. You with me? When we ask for that, we are asking to have something that we will build upon. God, teach me something, not to make it through the day, but teach me something that will enhance the quality of who I am. And I will build upon that. Okay? The other thing is accessing higher truth. Don't you know most of us are so afraid we won't get it? God, teach me, but I don't know if I'll get it or not. You know, most of us are so afraid that that we're not going to hear this vision. We can see the higher vision. We're asking God to teach us, but to access it actually means bring it in and apply it. You realize that's what accessing means. Bring in the higher vision and now do something with it. And some of us are afraid of the doing part. Have you ever been asked to do something that was interesting? Yes, but you do it, don't you? No, you do it. Because that is knowing that somehow you're being used as a channel of God's love. Sometimes you're being, you know what I'm talking about. I'll give you one example since it's Mother's Day. My mom, who's on the other side, has been for many, eight years. I would always give her a card and $100. You guys, back the day when I started doing that, that was good money. Now I know it's just not much. But I would set it aside, and I'd give it to her. And a few years ago, two or three years ago, my mom came to me, and she said, okay, I need you to get that $100 out and get it in a Mother's Day card. And I said, okay. And I wrote it, Happy Mother's Day. Somebody signed it. And I said, okay, who do I give it to? And she goes, I'll tell you. I said, okay, great. So Mother's Day came and went. It's probably June, July. We were at an ice cream parlor, and there was a young lady there with a little belly. And my mom came to me. It was in my purse. I'd carried it with me that entire time. My mom came to me that fast and said, that's her. Give it to her. And I went, okay, we're at a stranger in an ice cream outside waiting to buy ice cream. So I said, hi, excuse me. You got a baby in there? And she said, yeah. I said, can I talk to you for a second? And I'm sure her and her husband probably thought, okay, we need to back off a minute. She sat down and I gave her the card. I said, my mom is on the other side and she wanted me to give this to you. I've been carrying it for months, so this is for you. She started to cry. And she said, I went through Mother's Day and I was so happy to be pregnant on Mother's Day. And my mom told me, you are not a mother yet. And smushed her. And I said, well, yes, you are. And I know they probably didn't need the $100. Do you know what I'm saying? But she needed the card. She needed the thing. And I said, buy something for the baby. It was going to be a little boy. And then I didn't see him again until 8-9 months later. I'm at a stop sign. Car pulls up, honk, honk. I rolled down my window. She goes, you're the one that gave me that money. I went, oh, yeah. How's the baby? Great. And then we had to go. But it was so cute because I guess she remembered my car or something. But do you see how accessing a higher truth and doing being required or asked to request to do something out of the norm, out of our schematic in the world, this is what we'll be asked to do. You will be asked to do it. It may not be giving somebody money, but it'll be something. It's completely out of the norm, and you know why you're going to be asked to do it? Because that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when you say, I will follow Spirit no matter what Spirit says. Because Spirit's not going to ask you to do anything that's not loving, because God is love. You'll be asked to do something loving, generous, kind, sweet, and you'll do it. And it'll feel wonderful. It'll be crazy the first time and the second and third, but after a while, it's like, okay, you need me to do that? I'm on it. You do it. You hear me? When we see the vision, we get the truth, we access it, and we apply it. That is a part of Christing. And this is what Jesus got out of the Ten Commandments. So the truth becomes our truth. Jesus saw the beauty in the commandments. And I want to say this again because it needs to be said a million times. When he did, and he spoke to the priest, the rabbi, and said, nobody needs these if they are in love. He eliminated the middleman that the children of Israel had created. We do not need the priest. By the way, FYI, when this happened, there were no priests. The children of Israel did not have priests. What happened was, do you want to know?
Yeah.
What happened was when the calf thing happened and Moses was ticked. And he took his tablets and broke them. And he said to all the children of Israel, who's on my side? I'm fighting for God here. And the Levites said, we're on your side. And guess who became the priests of the religion, the Levites. But when the Ten Commandments came, there were no priests. There were no intercessors. There were no mediators. God, everyone that loved the unknown God had access to that communion. The Ten Commandments was the first step in creating a government. It became that. So for us today, are you afraid to hear God? Do you want a mediator? Okay. So when we really look at what love is all it is that moves through the commandments, can we actually now start looking at the energy of them? I found this, you know, we used to give out our metaphysical interpretation of the Ten Commandments, and I love them, but I found this in my little files. I don't know where they came from, who wrote them, I have no idea. I find stuff all the time and say, that's fabulous, who wrote that? I have no idea who wrote that. God. So here we go. I'll give you one. So here it is. The energy of the Ten Commandments. There is only one divine creator of all. Divine spirit creates matter. Do you know which one that is? How about this one? Nothing in matter can hold God's entire energy. Come on, guys. Graven images. Nothing can hold God's entire energy in matter. Use God's energy to create what you want, not what you don't want. You guys don't know? Take the Lord's name in vain. To take the Lord's name in vain means to use creative energy for something that you really don't want. Include God in your world consciously by working for the universal good one day a week. One day a week, the best day. Sabbath. Okay. The energy of God shall provide divine guidance and divine action for your life. Who said it? Father and mother. The male and female. The divine guidance female, the divine action male. God is source of all things. Ask. Steal. God is life. All life is God. Kill. God is truth. False witness. God fulfills my desires and my dreams. Yes, do not covet. God fulfills my desires and my dreams. And I just have to stay on my path with God. This is a tricksy one. Adultery. Because adultery is when I've made a commitment to something and I go, oh, wait, let me go over here for a minute. And then I come back. So I'm getting off my path, my commitment. So I'm going to read them again and I want you to hear the energy. Ready? There is only one divine creator of all there is. Divine spirit creates all matter. Nothing in matter can hold God's entire energy. Use God energy to create what you want. Include God in your world consciously by working for the universal good one day a week. The energy of God will provide divine guidance and divine action for your life. God is source of all things. Ask. God is life, and all life is God. God is truth. God love fulfills my dreams and desires. I just have to stay on my path with God. Can you feel the energy? Would you in your wildest dreams say that was the Ten Commandments? That is the energy of the Ten Commandments. When we move in the energy of love, it lifts us into the greater vision where we can actually see the energy moving. We're staying in love, staying in peace, staying in love. We end here. And if we live here, how powerful will our reality become? Because we are building our unique reality based on our own actions and dreams. How beautiful and powerful will our reality become? And we do not need a mediator. God is ours. We are His. Father, Mother, God, any name you use. We are one with God. There is no separation. So take a breath for a moment, and I want you to feel, before we go into anchor this in, I want you to just feel, in your consciousness, have you written a story? Did you rewrite a story? If you did, I want you to take a breath, and we're going to send this new story out to the universe. We're going to send it to raise consciousness. Take a breath and just send the story out. new story to raise consciousness, new story, new possibilities, new 10 statements of truth. Send it out. How's it feel? All right, let's anchor it within. Okay, I want you to put your feet on the floor and take a breath. Father, Mother, God, we truly ask to see the light. We ask to see the higher. And I ask that a beautiful, beautiful energy fill this room and a beautiful calm of light come over each one here. Let them feel your love, God. And as you are in your calm of light, you come here often, but I want you to notice the vibration around you, the color. This is me. This is how I am expressing in my world. I want you to breathe. And we're not going to lift. We're just going to stay here. Feel the love of God filling you, Jesus Christ with you. And I want you to see a box in front of you that is empty. And I want you to begin to find your own commandments, those laws that you have commanded yourself to live by. And I want you to begin to allow them to go into the box. All the commandments that I levy against myself, I put into this box. And you can just let it fill up. Feel yourself getting lighter. And now I want you to see an angel, a bright light, however it comes to you, come. And I want you to give that box to the angel. I seek a higher vision for these laws. I seek to understand why I chose this and how it serves me. I am open to hearing truth. And I am open to rewriting every one of these commands. Feel the love of the angels surrounding the box, and let's lift the box up, and it's going into your higher consciousness, and it's going in for divine light to pour through it. Let the box go, let it go, lift it up. I will know when I need to know. But for now, I am free. Feel your heart open, feel your willingness to grow and feel your love for Father, Mother, God. Father, Mother, God, we are yours. Feel Jesus Christ by your side as he just gently begins to bring your awareness back to the chair, to where you're sitting, to your light. There's only good. Breathe it in. There's only good. And there is only love. And we thank you, God. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. How you feel? We did some heavy lifting today. Now you're going to get your understanding as you're pumping gas in your car, shopping in the grocery store, I don't know, it's just going to download into you, and you're going to, oh my God, I get it. And you'll be able to weave that love through all the laws you've been living under, just weave it through to see it differently, to live it higher. And that is the path of the Christ. Ever evolving into greater love of self, greater love of God, and greater love of each other. You ready? You ready for your week?
Yes.
Say, yay, God.
Yeah.